Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Yeah, welcome to the NFL Pick'em Show, brought to you by MyBookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros doubles that first deposit all the way up to $1,000. Get off the couch and get into the action today. Bet on anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.com. D'Anthony.
You can book these nuts.
You can book these nuts. One. Two, Dan Schneider. It looks like he's finally going to sell the Commanders, which will be there on Sunday.
Yeah, we'll see.
What are the chances?
So the official statement said they hired Bank of America Securities to review transactions involving the team, which is a weird way to fucking phrase that, because that doesn't really mean anything. I mean, he could be selling a minority share to a minority, actually. Because
that's what the NFL wants.
Yeah, but I think they're probably gonna, if I had to guess, they're probably gonna end up selling the team to Magic Johnson and a group of people involving Magic Johnson. They've been trying to buy a football team for a while now.
Okay,
like they own the Dodgers, the same ownership group with some parts in or out, but they want to buy an NBA franchise, and they want to buy. I think he's waiting for the bus, for Genie Bus to croak, and then he's gonna buy it from the estate or something like that.
There's enough brothers that are still around that I don't think they're gonna
may bring them in and make like keep them in the ownership group or something like that, but I think that's his goal. He wants to own one of every major sports franchise.
Keep your eye on the Vegas one. That's what every one of those guys wants, is that Vegas franchise, and I agree with it, man. Fuck,
but for football, this would be a pretty easy one.
Oh yeah, DC. It says here the team is worth $5.6 billion, mm-hmm, with a B. And at this point, what do you care? You haven't been good since the 80s. Who gives a shit, right? Change it back to the Redskins.
I mean, they're on a two-game win streak right now.
Are they? With Heineke?
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't let them get hot.
Oh, they already got hot.
Don't let them get hot, friends. What's the record now? 3-4?
Maybe, but that's probably good for first place in their division.
By the way, exactly. I got a bunch of DMs about yesterday's show and the rant I was on. Unintentional, obviously, but you had said something where you were like, you're not a college football fan. No, so like, here's the deal. I hate mediocrity in all sports, and I don't care what level of football you're in. I hate it in high school. I hate it in college. I hate it in the NFL as well. And for all the people that hit me up, what I said to them was, because there were some Oregon fans that were super pissed, right? And I go, great. I will give you the top six in the CFP versus the world. How much money you want to fucking bet me on and that, and I'm fine with it. And I still stand by this. The top six, you're not beating them. One of those is going to be your national champion. I'm sorry. There's nothing you can fucking do about it. One of those top six teams is going to be your national champion.
And I counter with the year Ohio State won a national championship. They lost week two, mm-hmm, to a 7-6 Virginia Tech team.
Yep.
And so if they don't get a chance, right, if you write them off completely because they sucked in the first 1 or 2 weeks,
mm-hmm,
how is that fair?
You're trying to make the case for Oregon right now, right? Because yes, that's who's relevant there. I mean, it's a fair point.
But with Bo Nix as your quarterback?
Who's a completely different player than he was in Auburn.
Yeah. Sure is. He looks the fucking same to me.
Because you haven't watched him.
But I have. I watched the Oregon-Georgia game. He scored 3 fucking points, dude. I don't give a fuck how good you think this goddamn guy is. You scored 3 points.
So
3
you
guys, points.
You lost to 7-6 Virginia Tech when you won a national championship.
And they shouldn't have been there. You dumb fuck. Yeah. They should not have been there.
Yeah, but they
Bo
were.
Bo Nix fucking sucks. Oregon fucking sucks. They had 3 goddamn points. 3.
You lost to Virginia Tech.
Shut the fuck
Tech.
Up. All these teams fucking suck. I hate mediocrity. I'm sorry you love it. I'm sorry you live in it. I'm sorry that you went to a school that enjoys it. But fuck them.
So you're
and
saying
fuck the 76ers.
So your national championship's a fraud. 2014 is a fraud,
yes,
of Ohio State.
It was luck. It was all fucking luck. We had a third string quarterback who came in and never played. It was a fucking fairy tale. I'd have a better shot winning the fucking lottery tonight than finding a third string quarterback to win a goddamn national championship.
You better hope I don't win the fucking lottery tonight.
Oh boy, yeah.
UCF. UCF's getting all my
not
money.
Not a fuck.
Yeah. He's going to buy the Falcons franchise and just completely ruin it.
Do well, it. I hate them too.
You can't ruin fuck it any more than you.
Fuck the Falcons, dude. And like I'm able to say it about my own teams, you guys aren't. And I don't understand why there's such a big honesty gap of who you are.
Like, I'm not even defending my team. I'm not defending UCF. I'm defending like the rest of college football, because like college football isn't just about national championships. There's 120 fucking teams.
It sure the fuck isn't, dude. I hate it. And truthfully, if I wasn't gambling on it, I wouldn't watch any of this shit. Gambling and fantasy football is the only reason that I'm watching these dog shit teams. I didn't gamble on Monday night's game. Bengals-Browns. I didn't gamble on that piece of shit game.
I had the Browns.
Sure, I'm sure you did. Because you love it. You love the mediocrity. You live in it, dude. Not me.
Well, that fives and sixes, that's where the deals are, man.
I guess. Who was favored in that game? The Bengals?
Minus three? It was three and a half. Yeah.
And I had
thank Christ. It was that Halloween. I had no money on the game. I forgot that it existed.
I felt like with Jamar Chase, that was easy money. I took Browns 3.5 without even teasing it. Like, what the fuck was that bullshit?
It was such an awful game that it was like, I looked at it and I was like, I'm not betting this. I'm not putting any fucking money on this bullshit. And I'm all good. And truthfully, I think the NFL, because there was a time that you dipped on the NFL after the Kaepernick shit, and I was with you. I was with you all in on that. But if it wasn't for gambling, I don't know that we would care about any of these games. I don't think this show would exist. Dead serious.
Well,
if we weren't physically putting money on it, or for fantasy football, would we give a fuck about any team but the top four?
I don't know that people carry it with them the way they used to. Like you, I think most people, you're probably right, are not t-shirt fans, but somewhere in the middle, where they're fans on the weekends, but they don't really think about it during the week. And that's not how it used to be. It used to be, it used to be part of your identity. I am a Browns fan.
Yes.
And so I'm slightly morose because of it, but also slightly dumb hopeful. You know what I mean? That was like just part of your character. It's like being from fucking Pittsburgh or some shit.
Philly.
Yeah, or Philly. Yeah, same thing.
It's hope.
It became part of your stuff, but I don't think it's like that anymore.
It's not, and you're exactly right. Remember the love of baseball as a kid growing up? I mean,
I still love it, but kids don't care anymore.
I understand it. And like, there's been times where I've been forced to go to shitty football games or baseball games because of events that I was there, and I'm miserable. The games that you and I have been to just to fucking party. Remember the Post Malone thing? We went to Cowboys versus
Giants.
It was awful.
Yeah.
It was an awful fucking game with two awful teams. You and I just got drunk and made fun of him because he loved the Cowboys and they were about to lose to the worst team in the league at that point. I don't care about any of this.
That sounds fun.
Unless I can monetize
it. Yeah, it was awesome.
But because we're with Post Malone, most average people don't get to wake up and say, you know what? I'm going to go to this shitty game with Post Malone today.
Going to Post Malone sounds like an awful time.
It was a blast.
Also, but fuck Post Malone. It just sounds fun to go to a game and get drunk.
Like, yeah. What
are you?
I just want to be with my friends.
With two awful teams?
Yeah.
Who cares? I can't get into it.
Don't and I think can't get up for it.
You ever go to like a minor league game on dollar awesome, beer man. Night? It's awesome.
I feel like since we were kids, I remember going to baseball games as a child, but I don't remember there being nearly as many families at the game as there are now. You know what I mean? It's like Six Flags or some shit. Like why the? I get it. You want to hang out with your kid, but why? I saw a dude at a game not too long ago. Actually, I saw a dude at the last Washington Redskins game that I was at 2 weeks ago, and he was one man and his fucking four daughters who were eight and younger.
Yep.
Like, what the fuck are you? Why did you? And they were in good seats. I'm like, why did you spend all this money for these girls who don't give a fuck what's happening here? They were sitting there on their iPads the whole time. But that's a thing now. It's a destination. It's not a place where dudes take their buddies and their young kids and go fucking get rowdy.
Yep.
Or their young sons, I mean, and go get rowdy and enjoy the sport. Like, hey, you're a fucking Braves fan. You're a Mets fan, whatever the fuck you are, right?
Yeah.
It just doesn't feel like that anymore.
It isn't. And like to go back in time to both of our stadiums, okay? Fulton County Stadium for us as Braves fans. If a fight didn't break out at a Falcons game every Sunday because they were so goddamn awful, then did you even really see the Falcons in person? Same with the old Vet. When my grandfather used to take me to all those old Phillies games, whatever, it was violent. I was hearing the worst shit of my life, and I was seeing the worst team in baseball at that point, right? But you knew what you were kind of getting into. The first thing I said to you when we went to the link, when they first opened in Philadelphia, as I was like, holy shit, this is an unbelievably nice stadium. We looked at the ticket prices. The cheapest ticket in the last row in that stadium, if you're buying them at face, was $125. Dirtbags can't afford to go with their friends anymore. It has become a family thing. It has become a Disney World thing. And the stadiums are being built like it to entertain these kids.
What do you think that has something to do with, like, how the game is, the games, not just baseball or anything else, but how all of them are kind of evolving? It's all getting kind of pussified, isn't it?
It is.
Like, dudes used to routinely go chest to chest with umpires and call them everything you can call them, and then be like, get off the fucking field, Brett.
Yeah.
Fuck this. And he would come up for his next at bat like nothing happened.
Yeah.
Now
Schwarber went bananas on an ump this year. That's like the most famous Phillies clip outside of any of their playoff shit.
Yeah. But he got immediately ejected.
That's what we all love.
And it was after an entire game of everybody on both teams. Yeah. Like, dude, what the fuck?
By the way, this, Ross, is why God put you to sleep for the 88 win Braves winning the World Series.
Because of all this blasphemy.
Yeah.
Of what?
Because you don't have any hope.
88 win Braves won the World Series.
Here's the thing, dude. Die hard forever, right? 27 years, right?
25.
We won in 95.
Yeah, but 26 years.
Okay, so 26-year wait for something like that. Do you know how many people lived and died during that time period that never got to see it just one single fucking time? And, like, I was amped about it. I was amped to go to the game and everything else and blah, blah, blah. I thought we were young, and I didn't think we would win until this year. I thought our team this year was lights out. Last year it was like, all right, we're early, right? We're a little bit early, and the Braves are going to be good for probably the next 8-10 years at this point with all those young guys.
Yeah, I mean, they've got at least six.
So I feel positive about that, but it's a rare sport though where you can lock up 6 or 7 guys for 10 fucking years, whereas you can't really do that in all the other sports.
I think the athletic decline is so much more obvious in both football and basketball. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It would have been one thing to lock down Steph, Clay, Draymond for long-term contracts, but they've kept them together for a long time. I think, 2013 is when Draymond got there? Something like that. So they've been together for like 9 years.
Yeah, yeah.
This will be 10. You can't – there's no way to do that in basketball, really, though, because of the way the contracts work. A guy's on his rookie contract, and then he goes sign somewhere else. The way Bird rules work help to some degree to keep – teams together longer, but I don't know, man. I feel like there's such a steep decline in basketball for athleticism, and then in football it's injury.
Yes.
Like, mm-hmm. you're not going to have the same quarterback, running back, wide receiver combo for a very long time. And right. I will agree, 3 years maybe.
I will agree with Ross when it comes to college football. Like, no matter how many teams we expand, whether we go 12, 24, it's going to be the same 6 teams, because there is this kind of just like sharp decline between the recruiting. Mm. But it's just like the fact that NFL,
and the coaching too, right?
Yeah, but the NFL, like, you punch your ticket, like, you actually do have a chance, like that 9-7 Giants team.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do. But, like,
it's a lot closer.
As I'm looking at these games, if I was to be fully honest of what games I actually care about, or the teams that I actually care about watching for the entire year, I'm at 4. I don't know about you. I'm at 4, and I'll tell you who they are.
In the NFL?
In the NFL right now, I'm at 4 teams that I actually give a shit about on a week-by-week basis.
I'm watching the Eagles.
I'm watching the Eagles.
Watching the Dolphins.
I'm not watching the Dolphins. I'm watching the Eagles. I'm watching the Chiefs. I'm watching the Bills, and I'm watching this 49ers team, especially after this last game with McCaffrey turning it up. Other than that, I think it is those 4 against the fucking world, and I don't even really have any, like, a close 5th.
Let's give the Vikings some credit.
I've been watching the Seahawks, too.
If Tua didn't get killed, then I would say yes. I would watch. I would put the Dolphins in that group, but he is one hit away from
maybe, but he being Terry Schiavo.
The Seahawks are fun, though.
They're fun, but I just, you can never tell me that Geno Smith would have a shot at a title.
Sure, but it's
Trent Dilfer.
It's the NFL.
Yeah,
Geno is not turning the ball over, and he's actually, he's got a strong arm, but you're not going to see him fucking linking up for 50 yards a lot, but he's not like some of the older quarterbacks we're seeing now who can only throw 5. He can throw 10 to 15. Like, he can make most of the throws, and he's not turning the ball over. He could definitely win a Super Bowl. I don't know about with this team, but.
Yeah, let's see.
Like,
here,
if you put him on that Legion of Boom team, and he's not a fucking prima donna bitching about everything and not handing the ball off, good chance they fucking win 2 Super Bowls and not just 1. To be honest, I don't think Russell Wilson was ever that great.
But looking at this, so NFL, four teams for me. That's it. That's all I really give a fuck about. Just because the rest of the talent, I think, is mediocre. Same with college football. So I'm looking at this right now. Let's go by not the CFP last night, because I think that's off as well. I don't have Ohio State at 2 in that CFP. I've got them at 3. I think it's Tennessee, Georgia, and then Ohio State in that CFP, if I'm being honest here. But let's go AP top 25. Georgia, Tennessee, Ohio State, Michigan, Clemson, Alabama. That's where my line ends. I have no one else.
You don't have USC?
If they win out,
I don't think they can make it, even if they went out, to be honest.
They can.
Theoretically, they can, but I just don't. Nothing ever works out that
perfectly. But are you putting them in over a one-loss Tennessee, over a one-loss Georgia, or one-loss Alabama?
Chaos has to happen.
If they win a Power 5 conference, right. Undefeated maybe, but not with one loss.
If TCU runs the table, they're in.
They're not going to run the table, though. It's not a great team. They're going to lose probably 2 games here.
Probably to Texas.
They might even lose this weekend. But other than that, the rest of these, it's like, hey, USC, if they didn't lose to Utah, I would say yes, but they lost.
I think Oregon goes undefeated the rest of the season. They're
yeah.
In.
Oregon's.
You're not putting Oregon in over a one-loss Tennessee or Georgia team.
Georgia's in the playoff, they're going to be in the playoff.
If Ohio State beats Michigan and Clemson manages to lose to UNC in the fucking ACC title game, which is a real possibility, mm-hmm. or any of the games they play before then yeah, it'll probably be Oregon over Alabama.
Because then here's what's also going to throw a wrench in this. Let's say Ohio State and Michigan is a great game, last second field goal on either team. I don't think you can leave either one of them out with a one loss either. So I still don't see a realistic shot for Oregon.
Oregon
in this situation.
Will have 3 ranked wins the rest of the year.
I have to imagine Michigan and Ohio State's strength of schedule will be below Oregon's.
Yeah, and Oregon will be a conference champion. They'll beat a ranked Utah, a ranked Oregon State, and a ranked USC in the conference championship.
Yeah, that's a lot to do. And I don't think any of that's going to happen either.
And a ranked BYU and a ranked UCLA earlier in the season.
Right. So I don't think any of that's going to happen either. I don't think they're beating USC. And as far as your scheduling, Bob, that's exactly 100% why I have Georgia still above them in the CFP. I don't know why they put Ohio State at 2 in that.
Yeah, but
it makes no sense to me.
The committee doesn't just look at the results of previous games. They look at the potential of the team as well. That's always part of it.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. Okay. And you've got, like, at some point, I think everybody's expecting who's the guy that's supposed to be the best wide receiver in the country to come back, right?
I hope he hasn't played all year. We'll find out. But, Tennessee, again, I said yesterday, Tennessee, Ohio State, 60-66 game would be the greatest thing of all time. And I'd love to see it. But as far as that goes, if it wasn't for gambling at all, the show wouldn't exist. I wouldn't care about any of these teams. And I think the NFL got really, really lucky with that Supreme Court ruling, because the NFL ratings, remember that, were going into the shitter. And the only way they came out of it was this. And the last time they went in the shitter is when fantasy football exploded. And looking how much they're paying Matthew Berry for his bullshit on NBC right now, I think those two things saved it. The problem with baseball in particular is you can't gamble on baseball. The odds are dog shit. They're really, really hard unless you're doing futures.
Game two, I think, was the highest rated baseball game since 2019.
Yes, and for Major League Baseball right now, ratings-wise, and for the growth and continuation of your sport, you needed exactly what is happening right now. And even last night's game, even though it was 7-0, you had 5 home runs in that game. All your superstars showed up and played. Even the walking over homeboy with Bryce Harper was like, hey, let me whisper what this guy is tipping, and he hits a first pitch home run in there. All of that stuff is fucking awesome, dude. And you have a big city and a big market in the tri-state area that everybody's behind. Ratings are through the roof. This is great for baseball. If it was the Rays versus the Astros, or Miami, the Marlins, you're fucked. You were absolutely fucked.
I don't know. As long as the Astros were involved, I think it would still be fine, because people like to hate them. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a trope now to hate the Astros.
But also the NFL, you don't like teams that, like, kind of know who they are. So you got the Giants. Like, they make no mistake about it. Like, they know Saquon Barkley. Like, get him the fucking ball. Or even your Atlanta Falcons. They just run the ball down your throat.
I hate them. I hate watching it. It is boring to me. Marcus Mariota, ironically, was the quarterback of that team that we beat for the national championship in 2014. I think this team is awful.
Do you like Arthur Smith, though?
I wanted to see all of them tank so we could get a great quarterback. And now we're probably going to make the playoffs. It's a fringe team that can't win the Super Bowl. Go get your franchise QB. This is the year to do it in this draft. And if you were going to tank 1 year, it should have been this year. And I thought with the signing of Mariota, that's what they were doing.
You got a coach, though.
We got a coach.
Art Smith's coaching his dick off.
Yes, we got a coach. We got a tight end. The Calvin Ridley trade surprised me this week. I don't really understand that.
I don't think Pitts is going to be there by the time they're good. I think they're going to end up trading him. Right.
Those rookies are on 5-year deals, so he's got a while. And that guy is top three, even though he's on a shitty offense. So it's like, he's amazing.
When is it that you expect both a good offensive line, other receivers, and a fucking great quarterback to come into Atlanta?
Well, this will lean into my hatred for the Falcons right now. I was hoping we would tank this season and then get the quarterback, get the fucking people. Because if you get a 1 or 2 pick, and then you're coming back in the second, top of the second, there's some gems in there, top of the second round. Now they don't even have that. It's going to be 16, 17, and then you're mid fucking second, third, the rest of the goddamn draft, and it's going to suck dick.
I think they should just get a homeboy from the Redskins.
Heineke?
No, the North Dakota guy.
Who's that? You're talking about Lance? Oh, you're talking about Carson Wentz?
Yeah.
No.
He's the savior of that franchise, probably.
No, he's not.
Well, you're probably right about that. And let me take a little bit further. There's no salvation for that franchise.
I don't think so either, which is why, like, I don't think I've watched one single second of a game until the last one. They flipped over to it after the Cowboys game. It ended, and they were in overtime with Carolina, and they let a Hail Mary through. It was a 62-yard pass that a guy caught with no time left, and that's the Falcons. Now, the guy rips his helmet off. It was Moore, right? What's his fucking name, DJ Moore? Rips his helmet off, chucks it. They throw a 15-yard flag. Their kicker misses the extra point. That's the only reason that game went into overtime, and then he misses a field goal in overtime, and we get the ball back, 2 minutes left, and kick a field goal, and it's like, yay, we're 4-4, and you're fucking up the draft again, dude. The other thing I wanted to talk about, too, is there was a comment in there. The guy was definitely being a dick to me on the message boards, but it is important to bring up, I think, because this is a gambling show, which is why we do this. So the guy said his exact, I don't forget his name, but he goes, "You wouldn't win in the NFL every single week like you do if it weren't for the fucking teasers." You are correct on that, which is why we do this. And on the flip side of what I just talked about earlier with the gambling saving the NFL, I think these guys in these lines are so fucking dialed into the NFL right now that it is very hard to win without a teaser or picking the top three best teams, right? With the Eagles or the Bills or whoever. But even the Bills game, let's take the Bills game on Sunday night. Bills, in my opinion, are the best team of football. It was 10.5. You said on last week's show, you go, "I don't give a shit how good they are. I don't take double digits in the NFL." Mm-hmm. And you were correct. They only won by 10. You would have lost all of your money on that if it weren't for a teaser. Something Delco has said a few times on this show.
I mean, we looked up the fucking stats. It's like 72% of games end within one score. Something
right.
Like that.
And then Delco has said that numerous times. And yeah, when you go through it, and you look at it, you've also said numerous times that it's professional football and anything can happen. And that is true. Like, the reason why we're so good at picking colleges and all this other shit is, usually we'll get to be in the first row or on the field or whatever it is and see these guys in real life. There is such a huge disparity of what and how big these athletes are in real life and college versus the other teams. So you get to see and really map it out and be like, all right, great. Nobody beyond the top six can win a national championship. They just don't have that fucking talent there. Whereas in the NFL, you and I are on the field. We'll be there again on Sunday. They all look the fucking same. Mm. They're all fast as shit.
Everybody's a fucking stud.
Yep. Every single one of them. They're all the best.
And they have pride, and that's how you get the Carolina Panthers beating the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Yep. Yes. And so that is why we're using so many teasers. And like, for those of you guys who have followed the show for years at this point, it has changed so drastically for us and gambling. A lot of these sites, my bookie included, is taking away these half points. Point, 3 points. Remember, we used to be able to buy all that shit? Mm-hmm. Buy 3 points, buy 2 points if we want, buy a point and a half. You can't do it anymore. You have to put it into a teaser. It's because a lot of these games are one score, and that 1 point at a +8 is the fucking difference versus a -7 or a 6.5, and it's a big deal. And everybody's trying to take your money, which is why a lot of these games, I'll just tell you not to bet because I don't want you to lose your fucking money. I'm actually betting on this shit and I want it to win, but I don't bet anything more than that's fun. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Fun. I'm not going for a mortgage, nothing like that.
I'm not sure if you guys are going to get, by the way, a quarterback in the draft because
of Desmond Ridder.
Is that who you want?
No. That's who they drafted last year.
Oh, no. Yeah. No, it's so. Everybody, first of all, I've looked at 6 mock drafts so far. Every single one of them has Detroit taking CJ Stroud first overall.
Fine. Have at it.
Why, man?
I don't know.
This isn't even an Ohio State or Alabama quarterback situation. This is like, you've got, Jared Goff is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
He's pretty good. Why are you drafting another? He's like 26 years old. That doesn't make any sense to me. Why would you not draft an offensive lineman? You can build the core of the team and then go get yourself a fucking superstar like that. But 3 of the fucking ones I looked at have Atlanta taking Bijan Robinson from Texas.
Well, look, we don't have a running back.
Yeah.
So, hey, if you're a run team.
If you're in the bottom half of the first round of the draft, I think you kind of have to go with one of the better running backs instead of one of the better quarterbacks left because there aren't that many.
Yeah,
left.
And exactly.
Hooker slips down that far.
We should be in that range, I think.
13 to 18 is where you're falling in most of these.
For Texas fans, by the way, I will say this with confidence. Bijan Robinson is the best running back in college football, and it's not close. I know they put one of the kids from Ohio State in there in the top 5 for the Heisman before the season started. He's been injured, so who knows what he's going to be. He'll be able to come back another year and he's fine, but Bijan is out of there, and I would be more than stoked to have Bijan Robinson on my fucking team. Every time I've seen that kid in real life, he fucking destroys people. Like, I'd be amped about it, so that would be great. So much though on the Falcons. Yeah. You're 100% right.
This is Sports Illustrated, and they have Stroud, Hooker. And then who's the other guy?
Bryce Young.
Bryce Young going 1, 2, 3. And the next quarterback doesn't show up until 55, and it's Grayson McCall from Coastal Carolina.
How updated is that? Because like everyone's super high on Will Levis from Kentucky.
It is him. This is from October 31st.
Hartman from Wake Forest. They're amped on.
I'm sorry. Will Levis was in the first round. He was at 15.
Was Caleb Williams not in this? Is he too young?
He's a sophomore, yeah.
Oh, he is. Okay. Because that kid I fucking love, dude. And I'd love to have him.
They're also kind of like throwing out the idea of Anthony Richardson from Florida as like a top 2 round
draft. A lot of people like the way he looks when he plays quarterback. I don't know if that's a trap or not, because I felt the same way about other guys in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe it's because we're applying Tom Brady. Like, Tom Brady didn't look great in college, but he looked like the perfect model of an NFL quarterback. Like, yeah, that'll probably work, right?
Because he's white.
Like 6'3". No, it's because he's 6'3", 6'4". Yeah. He's got a strong build and a good arm, and he reads progressions well. And right. Richardson does all those things. He's the right size, and he does those things. The team sucks.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's the hardest part about Richardson is because I had money on that Tennessee game, obviously, and we got to see him in real life. He's good. That team is not, and he's doing it all on his own. So I don't know what he would be like with weapons.
And if you had to bet on anybody coming out of the draft, whether or not they're going to be good in the NFL or not, first of all, the odds are completely against you. Most people fail.
Yes.
Unless you consider playing 2 or 3 years and then riding the bench or retiring success, which if that is, I mean, whatever. But like nobody expected Trevor Lawrence to struggle this much.
Right. And even with the CJ Stroud thing, it won. He starts slow for Ohio State games. You cannot start slow in the NFL. You can in college because you're surrounded by 5 stars and you can just keep chucking up the ball, and then you can score 28 points with 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. I think the only thing they should look at in college quarterbacks before they fucking draft them is the shot group that they throw. Mm-hmm. Shot group means like the target's here. How far away from that target do they generally hit? Because if it's more than like a foot away from that target, they're not going to be successful in the NFL. Can't be.
Yeah.
And the other one is just the ability to read progressions. If you can't look through 4 receivers and decide which is the best, within 2.5 seconds at most, then you're not going to make it in the NFL.
Right.
Can't. Yeah. Or you're going to end up being somebody like Carson Wentz, who, you know, has all the tools, but as soon as the immediate game plan breaks down, he's fucked. He just can't. It doesn't work, man. It's the hardest thing to do.
It is. And trying to pick a franchise quarterback who will literally change your,
I don't believe,
whole team,
it's believe that shit, that hitting a baseball is the hardest thing in sports to do. Playing quarterback in the NFL is the hardest thing.
Or picking one in the draft is probably the
hardest. I mean, like, you can talk to fucking Kevin Costner about that. but yeah, it's. I think playing quarterback in the NFL is probably the hardest thing to do athletically. But, well, as an athlete.
Right.
Not just athletically, because you have to be so fucking smart to do that shit.
Real quick, kids, you know how we do on this show. We will go over the hits and misses for last week, and then this week's odds. All of those odds are brought to you by mybookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros doubles that first deposit all the way up to $1,000. You're gonna hear teaser out of my mouth a lot on there. When you go and bet on your favorite team, you can add +6, +6.5, or +7 on these. Some of them you can do like 10, 13. They're kind of like oddly selected on there. And if it pops up, it's a nice surprise where you're like, great, I will take that. And it has really helped. It helped me out against Arkansas, Alabama. Fucking A, dude. It was a 13-point teaser in that one. And the only reason I won that fucking game was they got blown out at the end was because of that goddamn extra 13 on top of that. And with that, you're going to use that promo code Drinking Bros there. Doubles your deposits up to $1,000 at mybookie.com. Bet on anything, anytime, anywhere with mybookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros. Doubling that deposit all the way up to $1,000. Next up, we got drinkingbrostickets.com. You want to go to any of these games. Take the family, like Dan was saying earlier, or whatever. They're about $10 cheaper than StubHub. It's just a fucking back end and then the same goddamn tickets, and you're able to set it up. And it's just fees at that point. So all the ticket prices we'll read are from drinkingbrostickets.com as well. Last week, Ravens, Buccaneers, both of us called this one. That was a pretty easy one. It was 2.5 for the Ravens there. Tom Brady looks like shit. This team looks like shit. And truthfully, they scored a touchdown. I was surprised they left Brady in and let him do that last drive because they were down.
I'm surprised he's going to be playing this week or next week or the week after that.
Same.
To be honest, like it's probably time to fucking pack it in, guys.
Yep. Leave this shit heat team and move on with your life and go get your wife and kids back. Too late. Divorce is already final. Did you know that, by the way?
I just want my kids back. What? No, I don't care.
I've never heard of, Jesse told me this, I've never heard of a couple signing and then their divorce, boom, that was it. So clearly this was in the works for a while, and that was it. So they're divorced and that, never going back.
I don't care.
I do. I really care. I'll be a father to those kids. Mm. Next up, Broncos, Jaguars. Boy, this was a London game.
Yeah, if this game was in America, it would have sucked.
Yeah.
And sucked even worse over there.
The only reason anybody watched this game, it was on at 8:30 in the morning. It was on in the background. Russell Wilson came back and won the game. And he was doing stretches on the plane. This is the one he was stretching on the plane.
Travis Etienne showed out, though.
He's had a great year this year.
Yeah. And maybe it's because they're playing in England and he's got a French name. He's like, fuck the English, obviously. They've had, I don't know if you guys have heard of England or France, but they don't really care for one another. Yeah, he's been lighting it up.
Yep.
Looking good. He's going to get about 1,300 yards this year.
Looks really good. Really good. Nice to see him back from injury. Mm-hmm. And next up, Panthers Falcons. Chatted about this. Who cares? Who cares about either of these teams? And
PJ Walker just couldn't get it going, man.
No,
you know
he did.
But don't let him get hot.
He was fine. He threw.
He was
19
for 36. That's not fine against the fucking Falcons. They don't even have a defense.
But PJ, going back to Cardale Jones, that's their third string. For a third stringer, it's decent. They almost won the fucking game if it weren't for homeboy ripping his helmet off. Bears versus Cowboys. Now this was on because we live here. Mm-hmm. So this was what was on in the background, and I had money, a lot of money on the Cowboys on this one. Cowboys came through. This is a fun game to watch because it looks like Fields could be the dude.
Yeah.
They did trade for a wide receiver this week.
They traded for a wide receiver and they traded their best defensive player.
So what are we doing there? What are we trying to do there?
Building for the future, I guess.
But it was odd. But Fields looked good, man, for how shitty this team was. So maybe he could be your QB of the future. We'll see. Dolphins, Lions.
I think I think it's going to be more like a Matt Stafford situation where he's going to get the fuck out of Chicago as soon as possible and then go try to win somewhere. Like
Fields?
What the fuck could you possibly tell Justin Fields to get him to stay in Chicago after this?
Those rookie deals, though, you're there for 5 years.
No, I got it. He's got 3 more years. Yeah. Well, he's technically 2 more years, and then they can fucking try to wrap him up on the fifth one, but he can just sit out. That's what he should do.
Right.
If he gets through the next 2 years without dying, he should sit out of that fifth year until they trade him.
Or if the Bears are going to do something, we'll see.
They haven't ever, in the history of the franchise, done something.
85.
Yeah, they had the best defense ever.
It's the Super Bowl shuffle.
And that's it.
It's the Super Bowl shuffle.
No.
Dolphins, Lions. Look, I've said this a million times, and I will repeat it again. Lions have always fucking covered, man. They're 1-6.
They score. No matter what else is going on in Detroit, even when they fucking really sucked back in the day with, what was his name? The left-handed quarterback they had when Barry Sanders was there. They still score.
Oh, they still score,
They just never play fucking defense.
And the weird thing about this game was it was 27-17 at half, and I was like, oh, shit, the Dolphins are going to lose. And then the Lions just didn't score in the second half at all. And I was like, oh, okay, well, it's still the Lions, right? They're 1-6. Next up, we got Cardinals, Vikings. Went all in on this one as well as a teaser. 8.5, they covered. It was great. Fun to watch the cover, I guess. But both of these teams, the Cardinals are now 3-5. And they got a quarterback who's got $250 million.
And
3-5.
One of the top two
wide receivers,
although he's only played 2 weeks. So.
Bro, I drafted him in all my fantasy teams and stashed him on my bench. You know, he had 12 catches in this game for 159 yards. It was awesome.
Yep.
But that's all you really care about. Kirk Cousins keeps winning the 6-1 there. All the Vikings fans have hated him forever. Keep hating. He brings you guys to the playoffs every fucking year. And they traded for somebody too, right? Or did they trade somebody? They got TJ Hockenson.
Yeah, they got TJ Hockenson from the Lions.
It's a great pickup for those guys. So
yeah, I don't know who was the Vikings starting tight end before that, but Hockenson is going to be an upgrade.
It was Kyle Rudolph, who's like 1,000 years old.
Mm.
So great trade for them. That's fun. Way to go. You're 6-1. You should be making moves like that. Raiders, Saints. My God, man. Didn't bet this one. Thankfully, both of these teams suck. 24-0, though. I mean, not scoring a point if you're the Raiders. And you have Davante Adams.
And Josh Jacobs. And, you know.
Did Darren Waller die? Like, what? Did somebody die during the game? So like, what happened?
I like to look down the cross tab sometime and see what. Try to see what develops during the game. Hunter Renfro, 1 reception for 6 yards. Davante Adams, 1 reception for 3 yards. And Davante Adams only was targeted 5 times, which may mean that the Saints, who have a notoriously bad defense, at least according to everybody I know that works for that organization, maybe they just came out of nowhere with some really good cornerback play. Hard to say, but I doubt it against one of the best receivers, the best receiver in football. Davante Adams the best.
You know why it's hard to say?
Because it's fucking bullshit.
Well, nobody watched this game.
Yeah.
I don't even know if this was telecasted. I think they blacked it out.
It shouldn't have been. I mean, New Orleans is a difficult place to play on the road for sure, but not 0 points difficult where Derek Carr gets fucking pulled in the third quarter. You know what I mean?
If you would have told me, though, hey, you have the option to watch this Raiders-Saints game or somebody get electrocuted live on TV, I'm going with that.
Well, yeah. I would. There's no game that I would rather watch than somebody getting electrocuted, though.
I mean, I that's where I'm at with this. And that's why, again, this like the mediocrity of this shit, including the next one. Patriots-Jets. Fine. If Brady was there, if the Jets were, if Parcells was still at the fucking Jets, like, fine. Otherwise, 22-17, there was 60 fucking field goals in this goddamn game. I mean, miserable to watch. Absolutely fucking miserable to watch this goddamn game. If you're a fan of this, like Zach Wilson, everybody's, oh, Zach Wilson, he's great. The Jets are 5-2. He was 20 of 41 in this game.
48.5% or so.
My God.
Give or take. Yeah, it's not great. Two tutties.
Did Zappy start at least for these fucking clowns? Is he
no,
in there?
No, I think.
Still got Mac Jones?
Mac Jones is back. Yeah, he was not great.
Not great. Don't care. Steelers, Eagles, easiest game of the week, right? There, you have again. You have the top three teams.
Well, unless you're
and then
Fetterman.
Everybody else. Yeah,
Fetterman
yeah.
was like, we all know that the Eagles are better than the Eagles, and there was like, all right, John, it's time for your pudding, you fucking lurch looking motherfucker. This game was actually I enjoyed watching this game because.
Oh.
These are the games where you find out if teams are for real or not, right? And I mean, I'm not even being funny about that.
Really? We went all in on this game.
No,
last
I know,
week.
But like, this is the kind of game of the season against a huge rival, an in-state rival. Forget about how banged up the Steelers are, mm-hmm. because you know the Panthers just whipped the fucking Buccaneers last week. You know what I mean?
Right.
Forget about that shit. This is a rivalry game. You come out, you take care of fucking business. You throw four touchdowns. You show that other team they're a bunch of bitches. That's how it's done. These are the fucking midseason games that you lose sometimes.
Right.
And it's that. I think it's important to fucking pay attention to that shit.
Jalen
Hurts is a fucking dude.
They're dialed in. I have bet on the Eagles every single fucking week.
If they just had a quarterback, that would be great.
And the teasers with the over-under of these guys. Like, I always here's what I've done the entire season with the Eagles. And it has not failed me. It is the fuck. Take the over down 7. Take the Eagles spread down 7 because they're so good in the NFC is dog shit, but they're so good in that NFC that it's like, hey dude, that extra 7 is just a guaranteed win. Congratulations, I didn't have to sweat this.
And Gardner Minshew got some time on the field as well.
Well, he should be the starting quarterback there. But
if he was the starting quarterback, they would be 3-4 right now.
Oh no! If he was the starting quarterback, they'd win the Super Bowl. I would say he's the only one that has a shot against Josh Allen or Pat Mahomes.
You know, like the mullet is not kryptonite for other teams.
It's the mustache.
It's just the way he grows his hair. No, it has no bearing on the game at all. No,
he's fucking moxie and spirit, dude.
No, he's like 5'10". What are you talking about?
He is the Nick Foles of this year.
No, he's the Baker Mayfield of this year.
I will change my tune, Delco. If Jalen goes down on a run, because let's face it, he's going to get hurt on one of these runs eventually. And Minshew comes in, I will push all of my chips in on Minshew leading the Eagles to a world championship. And I will apologize live on air, but it's got to be Minshew. Next up, Titans, Texans. Exactly what we said, word for word last week. Why would you put anything in this world on this game and then have to watch it as a fan? This was 17-10.
I mean, taking Derrick Henry's rush over, I think it was like 95.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Would have been good because he
doubled it.
The Texans suck in this game.
They're 1-5. They suck. This Titans team, sure, they're 5-2, but this is how they're winning games. By giving Derrick Henry the ball 32 times a game, he's going to die on the field.
Nah, he's a big boy.
He was out last year. He missed the last 9 games last year.
They're going to fuck things up and beat either one of the Bills or the Chiefs in the playoffs.
Not them, but they'll beat one of the other teams. Who else will be in from those divisions?
Fucking Miami?
Yes. They'll be like a Miami.
I think either Miami or Tennessee is going to beat the Chiefs.
Yeah, I'm saying we're not going to get the Bills-Chiefs because we want it.
Yeah. It's too much. To have a rematch immediately like that, especially after how it ended, it just never happens like that.
Man, but you want it.
We're not that lucky. We've sinned too much to have nice things at this point.
Yeah, and speaking of sinning, the next game too, I see the exact same thing about it. Commanders, Colts.
2-game win streak, baby.
17-16 in this game, and they're down to their second or third string. Is who's the kid from Texas? He sucked just as much in this game.
Ellinger.
He sucked just as much in this game as he did for the Texas Longhorns here.
He was a great quarterback at Texas until he turned to the camera and said, "We're back."
Yep, and it ended his whole career there.
God hates pride.
Sure does.
And he's never hated that.
Sure does.
Speaking of Indy, the fucking Bills traded for Nyheim Hines. Huge pickup for them. That is their Sony Michel. That was White.
Yeah.
James White.
I said this for weeks on the show. All they were missing was a fucking sweet running back. They've got one, and he also catches the ball out of the backfield.
They're not even going to – he might get like 3 to 5 rushes a game. He's catching the ball. That's
fine. That's all they
need. He's the James White on that team.
Yeah, dude, and it's a great move for those guys. I heard they made the call for somebody else before that, and they said no, it was Kareem Hunt. So I heard they made the call for Kareem Hunt, and Cleveland wanted too much. So I don't know who's running the fucking front office in Cleveland. That's the same thing that happened to Baker Mayfield. Mm. They wanted too much for that fucking guy. And then they had to wait until.
I mean, what do you think you're going to get out of Kareem Hunt at this point? Like he's got a bit of an attitude problem. You'll get a second and a fifth round draft pick, probably.
That's
something like
what
that.
I would have
or
thought. Or second, right?
2-6, maybe. You're not going to get a first rounder for a
running back.
You're not going to get a first rounder for a running back ever.
That's what I don't
get. Unless it's like C-Mac. Well, they didn't even get one for C-Mac.
You're not getting a second rounder for Kareem Hunt.
Yeah,
maybe 3-5. Yeah.
So whatever they asked for was too high. And then I know towards the end of the day, the guy moved on and said, "Hey, bro, there's somebody else will grab. Like, stop doing this. I mean, and it ended up being Hines.
For the amount of time they're going to use him and for what they're using him for, is Kareem Hunt that much better at catching the ball in the flat and yak than Kareem Hunt? The answer is no.
They're probably the same dude.
Especially not for like an extra round draft pick. Yep. There's no way. This is a great move by the Bills.
It's probably the same dude. They're very, very similar. And you still have Singletary going first. Yeah. He goes second. It's
but
great.
You don't see this in the NFL very much, where two teams, like the 49ers who are up next, and they put it to the Rams pretty
sure
easy.
Sure did.
McCaffrey looked great in everything he did, catching, throwing, running, man. Whatever, and that's what you expect out of him. But it's going to be rare if the two teams that end up in the Super Bowl against each other both made big like running back trades at the deadline. Yeah, I don't know if I've ever heard of that before.
I haven't either. The other interesting thing about this McCaffrey thing, in 10 days, he's been there 10 days as of this game, 18 carries, 94 yards and a touchdown. That's a lot of carries just to get into an offense. Like, he's in.
Well, that was the second game. Great. The first game, he only had, what, like 8 or 10
carries?
Yeah,
he barely got the
like
ball.
That.
And now he's getting the ball even more.
Yeah.
And you can really see what this team can do because they fucking destroyed the Rams.
Well, to be honest, I mean, you never want to accuse a professional athlete of dogging it, but how fucking hard was he trying in Carolina versus how hard he's going to try on a good team? Yeah. Honestly, like, this is human nature, man.
And with a coach,
like, your attitude is better, the system is better, you've got other people around
it's,
you.
You get like an endorphin and adrenaline. Yeah.
It's not about trying it, right? Yeah, it's just about being in the right fucking position
to
succeed.
You get a coach who has the skill set for your skill set, and it's perfect. Like, it's a match made in heaven, and they're going to fucking wreak
havoc. Who was
at
Carolina when he first got there? Still Ron Rivera, right? So he's only been under guys that just want to fucking ground and pound and not get creative and shit.
Dog shit coaches. So now that he's got him, look, 49ers will still lose in the fourth quarter of the game, and I will live line that in the Super Bowl and all that stuff. Because I do agree with Delco on this. I think the 49ers will go to the Super Bowl with this move.
I don't see who else in the NFC is going to beat him. It's not going to be fucking Philly. Maybe Philly. Right,
that's about it.
Like, it's not going to be the Cowboys.
Those are the
right?
only. Yes, no.
It's not going to be Tampa Bay unless something fucking crazy happens.
What a fucking crowning achievement that would be for Kyle Shanahan to lose again because he didn't run and he had Christian McCaffrey.
Oh, man. Just have to seppuku at that point.
And
right?
I want it, dude. As a Falcons fan, I want it. I want him to lose every Super Bowl in the fourth quarter.
I hope they get up 28-3 at halftime and do nothing but run the ball with C-Mac in the second half.
Ah, I would kill myself live on air. Next up, Giants Seahawks. Look, kids,
Seahawks are legit.
Bet this one. I had I teased this up to 10.5 for the Giants, and they still didn't cover. There was a last minute fumble down there. So yes, the Seahawks, as much as I hate to say it, they kind of are.
They're a good top third in the NFC team at this point, which is kind of weird to say.
Yes, they're probably three, right?
No, not right. Three.
Let's put a little respect on the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, the
right
Vikings
now.
Are doing
oh,
well.
You know what? I apologize.
Cowboys, too, are better.
It's just Kirk Cousins is one of those forgettable guys where if you threw an Office Depot shirt on that guy with a collar, I'd be like, great, I'm out of fucking paper. Can you go in the back? Or like,
I'm
what
not
do
sure
I
could tell the difference between him and like Jared Goff, who plays right next door in Detroit.
No, and if they
just
were
put him in a lineup,
if they were working down the street at Best Buy, I'd be like, all right, great. What's the new flat screen like?
I don't know. Yeah. Kirk Cousins been rocking some blinged out like chains and stuff.
He shouldn't do it, dude. Yeah. As a white man, don't do it.
I feel like Joe Burrow gets away with it, though. He bought a new grill with Jamar Chase last week, and it actually looked pretty good.
All of his best friends in real life are black, so he can. He's got the card. Enough. He's good. Yeah. Packers-Bills. Look, this game.
Who fucking cares, man?
Man, I cared because I wanted to see Rodgers get his ass handed to him. He did. I'm starting to side with you, though. Rodgers still is there. They just don't have the people for it. Like, they don't have any receivers, any of that shit.
Just back to what Bob was saying a second ago about the adrenaline, being surrounded by fucking warriors that are willing to get out there and get it done, and fucking people who put the time and effort in, and blah, 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 all that shit. These young receivers are fucking pathetic.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's got to, I mean, how do you fucking, regardless of, like, I've talked quite a bit of shit about Aaron Rodgers. But I did say, I have been saying lately that he's physically, there's nothing wrong with his individual performance physically.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's been pretty good. It's just like, fuck, man. How do you stay motivated like that? When you're a quarterback, all the focus is on you the whole game. Everybody's trying to fucking murder you the whole time. And the people you're throwing it to, especially like if you stay late in the pocket and you throw a ball to a guy and then you get fucking wrecked,
yeah,
and you're like, oh yeah, that's a fucking touchdown, and you get up and the guy's sitting there looking at his hands, motherfucker, I would rage the fuck out. I know why Tom Brady's breaking all these iPads.
Oh yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Fuck, man. Catch the goddamn ball. You are a fucking professional. What are you doing?
And if you're Aaron Rodgers and you're, let's say he watches games from around the league and you look at the first round wide receivers that are playing right now, Garrett Wilson on a fucking tear with the Jets. Chris Olave on a fucking tear with the Saints. The Alabama kid, dude. Shit, even go back last year, Devonta Smith. I mean, there's so much fucking talent that the Packers could have chose and they just didn't do it. So even if you couldn't, let's say Rodgers took all the money like he did, and all you had to do was look at your GM and be like, we had 90 receivers in there. Remember that T. Higgins draft?
Mm-hmm.
It was T. Higgins, Jamar Chase. I mean, it was so many fucking wide receivers, and they were like, nah, we're good.
Yeah. What if he's playing a long game right now? He's trying to get a prime position draft pick for Quentin Johnson from TCU, who's an absolute stud.
Yeah, that's who they're looking at. All the mock drafts I had have the Packers going after him.
You know what I have in the next mock draft for the Packers next year?
They have the 7th pick that they traded from Minnesota. So they have that pick locked in.
Packers take another quarterback?
No. So in my mock draft, close. In my mock draft next year, I have Pat McAfee selecting Aaron Rodgers to be on the podcast, and that's it. Because that seems like it's all he wants to do. Next up, Bengals, Browns. By
the
way,
the Packers are second in the NFL in drop passes.
Who's first?
The Dolphins.
Really?
Yeah.
I got great receivers there. That's just surprising.
He spreads the ball around a lot. But it's Dolphins, Packers, Jaguars, Browns, Broncos. That's the top five.
Okay. Bengals, Browns, didn't watch it. Didn't have to. Didn't have any money on this. Told you guys, hey, dude, probably the Bengals -3. Incorrect.
I won.
Way, way off.
Won this one.
And, I mean, at one point, it says here it was 25-0 at the end of the third.
The Browns.
What happened in this? I didn't watch one snap of this game.
The Browns still have a very good pass rush, and they have a very good run game. And
Nick Chubb is awesome.
If you don't have, if you look down the stats for this bullshit, nobody had more than 3 catches on the Bengals, I think. So he spread it around, and it shows you how great Jamar Chase is. Like, we should call him the best receiver in the NFL, to be honest.
Because I'm getting there.
Like, I'm looking at Davante Adams over there in that situation, like, all right, cool, man. The Raiders aren't that much worse than the fucking Bengals, and Jamar Chase puts up numbers every fucking
well
week.
Hang on, I think,
except for when he's hurt,
I think if it was Joe Burrow throwing to Davante Adams, different story, but
it's like if you look down this list, he spreads it out. Jamar Chase is the best. He might be the most impactful wide receiver in football, and you should, if he's not going to be playing, Joe Burrow's fucked in that game. That's an iron law now.
He might be fucked for the rest of the season, because you and I have heard behind the scenes that hip injury he's getting second opinions on. He might be done for the year.
Yeah.
Those hip injuries, man, not a lot of people end up coming back from those just in life or their careers, man. So we'll turn to this week's picks. Again, everything is on mybookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros doubles your deposit all the way up to $1,000 here. It is Delco's Eagles on the Thursday night game versus the Texans. There you go. Another tough game for the Eagles against the 1-5 Texans here. This spread.
Well, it's in Houston.
Is this the high? It sure is.
And same night as the Phillies Astros game.
Right. And hey, the Phillies, man, that's a blast.
Phillies get priority.
That's a blast to watch for sure.
They're on the main TV.
They are. -14. Is that the biggest spread of the year we've had so far?
I think we had a 14.5 with Buffalo. Have been 15.5 with Buffalo.
Steelers Bills, right?
Yeah,
yes. Steelers Bills.
I think
it was
the week after homeboy tore his pec or whatever the fuck.
Yes.
TJ Watt. That 14 points though, too much, because I think if I'm the Eagles, I'm running the ball in this game. Texans have the worst run defense in all of football. Why risk turnovers? Like, they're going to throw the ball plenty, but why risk turnovers? Why risk Jalen Hurts' body? Run the fucking ball in this game.
So for me in this one, I just said this, a half hour ago. I've done the same thing with the Eagles all year long. It has not failed me. I'm not deviating from that plan in this one. I am betting the shit out of this one, and same thing. I'm dropping the Eagles down to 7. I'm dropping this over-under down to 37. And the Eagles on their own, might break the fucking over under, which they've done this year as well. And it has not failed me yet. I'm going to keep riding that fucking hot hand with the Eagles. There's something, if you're thinking about taking the Eagles at minus 14, I will tell you this, this Texans team, for whatever reason, keeps fucking oddly covering against teams. I don't know how they do it. It seems like they play their best with like 5 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter, and they end up covering some of these games. So that is why I'm taking the teaser in this, but it also would not shock me if Philly won by 80 in
this.
Dude,
the Texans are giving up 186 rushing yards a game. Mm-hmm. That is like college. You don't ever see something like that in the NFL. The next highest team is 156, 30 less rushing yards per game. I don't know that it – I expect to see Miles Sanders go off.
I expect to see Jalen Hurts run the ball.
Yeah, I expect to see Jalen Hurts probably have 80 to 120 yards on the ground, something like that.
So maybe look for that prop as well on his rushing yards.
I just don't know if it's going to be fucking a 2+ touchdown game, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Hey, Bob, the number's up for his rushing yards in this game for Jalen Hurts.
They usually don't come out until like the fucking day.
Yeah, don't even waste Miles Sanders, man. Just use Kenneth Gainwell and Boston Scott.
I agree, because Miles Sanders, why risk an injury? You're 7-0. Just kind of shuttle him in. They did it last game. Did you notice that with Miles Sanders? I think Miles Sanders only got 9 carries last game. They did the same thing then, and I think that's smart. If you're up and you're able to crush these teams, save them. The NFL is a long fucking season,
dude.
Well,
if you've got a fucking legit second running back, and you've also got a third string running back that isn't some dude that was working at a gas station last week, then why the fuck not?
Gainwell, dude. Yeah. Gainwell can do it. I've seen him do it. He was my flex.
All right. I don't think they're officially up on the site yet.
Okay.
But Jalen Hurts rushing yard props over under 40 and a half.
Oh, I'll take that over all fucking day.
All fucking
day.
Are
you kidding me?
Yeah. So you can add that to the list. I will bet that all day.
Wait, has he had under that all season? I got to look now.
Yeah, you got to know. You got to know the answer to that.
Let's see, rushing. Oh, he only had 10 yards last week against the Steelers.
They were up by so many points, though. I'm taking – I don't give a shit. I'm taking
Arizona and Jacksonville.
40 versus the Texans. I'm all in.
He has had – he's been over 40 a couple times. Let's see here. 61 against – the Cardinals, 57 against Minnesota, 90 against Detroit. So he's only been over it 3 times. He did have 38 against Jacksonville and 27 against Dallas.
Let's see.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah.
Bears, Broncos. Russell Wilson. Nope. I'm just trying to see if any other quarterbacks who are semi-mobile had any success against the Texans on the ground.
You're fine. I'm betting the shit out of this one.
Justin Fields had 8 carries for 47 yards against the Texans, and that was actually a close game. I think Hurts will probably just to save third down a couple of times.
Yeah.
We'll fucking run for 10 or more yards.
Yeah, dude.
Right?
He might break off a fucking 60-yarder in this game.
He might break me off a piece of that Kit Kat bar. Now, they're not a sponsor.
Should be, though. Should be. Absolutely should be. Next up, we got the Chargers at the Falcons. Yeesh. Chargers -3 in this one. Who you got, D'Anthony?
You know, this kind of seems like a game that the Falcons would win, to be honest. So I'm not even kidding. Like, the Chargers suck. Eckler's not doing anything. Although he is leading the team in receiving, which is not great.
Well, he catches at fantasy football wise.
Well, you have one of the best young quarterbacks in the NFL, and your leading receiver on the team is your fucking running back.
Well, hang on. I think it's because Allen has been out all season. He hasn't played, right?
Yeah, but there's more than just one fucking wide receiver on the team.
That's their top dude.
That's not a good sign.
They need to get some receivers for Justin Herbert because otherwise, I think it's the tight end and it's Everett that they keep going to. But
yeah, but he's been banged up.
Yeah,
he's playing most games, but he's missing like significant time inside of each game because he's on my fucking fantasy team. But this feels like a Falcons +10 situation to me.
Okay, so for me personally, I'm just taking the Chargers here -3. I'm all good on this. This Falcons team is a fucking hellhole, and I'm betting against them, which means that I'll probably watch them for the first time this year because I'm betting against them and I have money on the game. Otherwise, this game would not exist to me. It wouldn't be my mind. It would be erased. Next up is Dolphins against the Bears. This is surprisingly a fun little game here.
I still don't think that Vegas feels comfortable with Tua yet.
I don't either.
Post injury so far. But you know, it's a relatively safe, not safe, but it's a relatively reasonable bet to say he's going to do really well against the Bears, because Roquan Smith's gone now. He's their best middle of the field tackler. He's gone.
Right.
And that's where they do their damage, is middle of the field with Waddle and fucking Tyreek Hill. Like, yeah, the Bears are fucked this week.
I agree. I've got the Dolphins in this as well. And
I'm not even going to tease this.
The only fucking issue is I'm waiting for him to die on the field, which will happen this year.
But even Teddy Two Gloves should have plenty of success against the Bears.
And I think he's fine in this one. And with Roquan Smith gone, he was the heart of that defense, and now he's fucking gone. Good luck, friend. You might even look at the over-under on this game, too, at 45.5. Like,
that's a tough loss to be struggling through the middle of a season, and the only thing really keeping you in it is your defense. And then your best,
and then you trade your best dude. Like, dude, come on, man.
But that's the economics of football. They're trying to get a couple. What did they get? Like a second and a fifth for Roquan Smith or some shit? I don't remember.
Yeah, it was,
or maybe it was like a second and a third. Yeah, it was decent. Conditional. I don't remember.
Yeah, it was decent. But yeah, and I'll tease down the over in this one. This will be on all my parlays as well. But Miami -5 is where I'm at as well on this one. Next up, Panthers versus Bengals. Cincinnati -7.
Is Jamar Chase playing? And I'm not betting this game.
I'm not either. For that exact reason of, like, man, it was, according to this score, very noticeable that he was not playing in this game, although I didn't watch it or Monday nights. So I don't touch this, man. You know, Panthers took the Falcons to overtime. They should have won. They beat the Bucs the week before. Maybe they're rallying with a shitty team around their shitty new coach and the shitty franchise, and maybe they end up doing something up here in Cincy. I don't trust this team without Jamar Chase yet. We'll see what happens to him in the future, but I stay away from this game on all things, teasers included. I don't touch any of this bullshit with these two fucking teams. Next up, Packers-Lions. I'm looking forward to this game because I think the Lions have a shot. And I know that sounds weird.
No, I'm taking Lions +10.5.
I am too. And that's exactly where I'm going with this. And I'm also dropping that over-under down to 42.5. These Lions games, I know they're 1-6. They've been high scoring and fun. They've had a couple duds. I don't think they scored a point against the Patriots a couple weeks back. But other than that, the Detroit at home, like, all right, here's a great example. If you're going to get fucked up and go to a game, go in Detroit. Why? Because it's old school Atlanta Falcons, where these people have nothing to live for but to go and get fucked up at this game. And the proof is in what these tickets are. The last row in this is still $65, which is shocking to me. If you go to the Jaguars game, the last row at the Jaguars game this week is $27. Therefore, these people are going to see a 1-6 team, man, and getting fucked up and rooting for this team, which is rare these days in the NFL. So, yeah.
What else are you going to do?
In Detroit, exactly. What else? The Pistons are even worse than this team. So, it's like, what's left? The Red Wings? I don't know how the Red Wings are.
Jared Goff does turn the ball over a lot.
He does.
And the Packers defense is okay.
Yep.
They're not. Their secondary is not great, but it's okay. And they get pressure on the ball. So.
Hence the 10.5 for me. So, yeah. I the Lions, and it wouldn't surprise me if they won this game. And if they do win this game, Packers fans are going to be dialing up the suicide hotline. Yep. Next up, we got Colts versus Patriots here in a battle of who cares.
Yeah, I hate this. I don't hate, like, it. If the other dude was playing quarterback, I would bet Patriots on this, and now I don't even want to watch this game.
Same.
Like, get him the fuck out of here, man. What are you doing? Mac Jones is not good enough.
He doesn't even have 1,000 yards passing this season.
Well, he missed a couple games, but not that matters. He actually, one of the games he missed, he got pulled from. So you can't really call that missing a game. You just sucked out loud.
No.
Yeah, I'm not watching this.
Nope, not watching it, not betting on it. I don't recommend you guys doing it either. The over-under is 39.5, which is gross. This wouldn't surprise me if this was a 17-13 game, 17-10, somewhere in there. It's disgusting. I hate it, and I won't be watching one single snap of this. Next up, you can bet your sweet ass I'm watching this fucking thing. Bills have not failed me this year versus the Jets. This is Buffalo -12.5 in this game. Obviously, I'm teasing this down, and this will go on all the cards and all the things. The Jets aren't going to stop the fucking Bills in this one.
The Jets give up a surprisingly low amount of points. Right, they're at 19.9. They're under 20 per game. Mm-hmm. Now they've played the Steelers and the Packers and the Broncos and the Patriots.
All those teams have terrible offenses.
Yeah.
And then you're going up against what would you say? Would you say the first best offense or the second in the league?
It's hard to say. I mean, it depends. It's not about being the best on paper. It's about the matchup, right? And that's where coaching comes into play in the NFL. In college, it's about recruiting and motivating the guys and having them under control and all that shit. And in the NFL, it's about play calling. It's about managing the clock and play calling. That's why Mike McCarthy is a really good coach, but not a great one, because he sucks at play calling. And for some reason, hire somebody to manage the fucking clock for you, dude.
I know.
What are you doing?
I don't know.
Like, pay some fucking dumb dick for that's an intern, or it's a paid internship. It's like fucking 12 cents an hour or some shit. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, let me know when I need to call timeouts.
Yeah.
Thanks, bud. Yeah. I don't get it. But anyways, the Jets give up a surprisingly low amount of points. They haven't really played anybody like the Bills, because there isn't anybody like the Bills other than the Chiefs, really.
You know?
So it's hard to say who's better between those two teams. I don't really know. Like, it's a matchup thing, right?
Yeah. So I tease this down. It's a 5.5. I'm all in on the Bills. I think it's a fun game. I tease down the over in this one as well. I've had a lot of success with that. So I take that at 40. And I take this down to 5.5. And I watch this game because I will have a lot of money on it. So I'll be watching this game. And back to your offensive points. We were talking about with, like, Shanahan and those guys. Like, Jalen Hurts is a better quarterback, in my opinion, than Jimmy Garoppolo. But fucking Garoppolo's got a coach who can now weave in and out of this system with McCaffrey. That's why I have the 49ers going to the Super Bowl now, because of what it is. But, man, if you were just to put Garoppolo on the Eagles, the Eagles would have 3 losses probably, because he sucks dick. Next up, we got the Vikings against the Commanders. Man, we will be there. You were the veteran of the game, D'Anthony. How do you feel? How do you feel about that?
I have a little indigestion right now. this will be a better game than you think. Washington plays hard at home.
Well, Heineke plays hard.
And they're on a fucking roll right now.
Heineke plays well. It's 2 games.
That's
let's pump the brakes.
Look, it's a roll for them. They're moving in a direction that isn't down. So
they're in the playoff hunt, 4-4.
Yeah,
they are. That's how bad the NFC is.
This is the prototypical fucking Kirk Cousins beefs it week.
Yep,
you know what I mean. Yeah. It happens every fucking year. Every fucking year it happens with this guy. So, and it's a homecoming for him. I don't know how he plays back in Washington after having left. I don't know if they've been there that much. I know in 2019 they went to Washington, I think, and it was 19-9.
So he got beat, right?
No, he won.
Oh, he did win. Okay. Yeah.
hang on.
So the one time that I bet on the Vikings this year, they got destroyed. I mean, just absolutely fucking destroyed. And it was bad. It was a bad loss that they took. And I was like, oh, God damn it, dude.
They haven't had it under Kevin O'Connell, though. This is a new coach, new system.
It is.
It's looking good.
It is.
Yeah, we'll see. But ultimately, it comes down to Kirk Cousins executing, right? It wasn't like bad play calling that's fucked them over, I don't think.
Oh, yeah. And I'm going to do something that the audience fucking hates, especially like the fucking OG gamblers. And I do this only when I don't like the other team and don't believe in them whatsoever. I am crossing the zero on this one, and I'm going to take Minnesota on the other way around on this one at 3.5. Why? If the Commanders come back with Heineke, right? It's like a miracle last week. They pop that game on at the end of the other one. If they do, it is if they choke, if the Vikings choke, it'll be by 3, no more than that. But I fully expect the Vikings to win this game, so I'm betting on the Vikings in this one.
By the way, it's 3 wins in a row.
Oh, is it 3?
Against the Bears, Packers, and Colts.
Packers. I don't know if I would have said they would have beaten the Packers. So, yeah. All right. And Fields is coming around. Yeah, that's actually surprising. All right. Either way, I'm taking the Vikings in this game.
Yep. Well, that Bears game was the fucking monsoon one, wasn't it?
Sure was. That was 49ers. That was it was opening week. Yeah. Opening week, and they won that game. I'm taking the Vikings, and because we're there and in person, I'm definitely betting on it.
I'm taking the Commanders money line just because I'm going to. That's what I did last time.
Oh, you did?
Because I was going to be at the game.
Win?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they won. They beat fucking Aaron Rodgers.
That's right.
Yeah. Redskins money line.
Yeah. God.
Nobody, none of the people that you're going to talk to other than maybe team officials this weekend will say the word commander.
Nope. And by the way, the sweatshirt I'm wearing in this game is a Redskins sweatshirt.
I think we need to find the most offensive kind we can. Like, well, let's bring in a native good dude on a chain with us. It's like, oh, yeah, we found this guy.
But we walk him in.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's allowed.
Can we find the kid that got, like, canceled when he was, like, 13?
Oh, yeah. The what was his name? Sandman. Nicholas Sandman? Was that his name?
He's rich now, so you're never going to find him.
No. Or you'll find him on a yacht doing cocaine with prostitutes.
His parents were rich before, but now he's put them to shame just by fucking making a silly face at an old man.
At an old engine.
We live in a real fucking nice world these days.
Sure do.
Yeah, anyways.
Got paid.
Yeah, he's fine. Got paid. Hey, man, however you have to do it, you have to do it. His life got ruined in the process, but he's fine now.
He's doing better than you ever would have.
He's doing better than Brian Stelter is
Take, I would take that in a second. I would take, if I had to choose a life between him or Stelter, that's it.
Because at least that dude still has hair.
Yep.
They're only like fucking 15, 17 years apart in age, too. That's fucked up, isn't it?
No, it's dark.
He's 36 years old. Anyways. It's
dark. Speaking of dark, this next game is dark. And if you're betting this, you've got a problem. I wish we could put the seek help, like the gambling number at the bottom of the screen here for this one, because you need help. It is the Raiders at the Jaguars. The spread is Raiders -1.5.
Jags, man.
Yeah.
+8.5.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. Not touching this game. You're not going to do it to me.
I definitely don't recommend watching.
No. I'm not putting this in teaser. Nothing, dude.
The only thing, you know, I do like to go back and watch certain highlights from the Jaguars games just to see how Peterson's coaching. Because I know he knows he can't fucking win. Right, but he's trying to like teach these kids how to win in the future. It's interesting to see it sometimes.
He's a really good fucking coach. Yeah. I agree. It's just, man, this is, you just need so much help there. And Lawrence, you think he's gonna turn it around? What do you think is gonna happen with his entire career?
I don't know. He needs a great receiver. He needs a Jamar Chase, and he doesn't have one. He's got a couple of good ones. But they're like, he's got second and third string receivers, and he's got Travis at the end.
So there's a bunch in this draft. Yeah. They're 2-6. It looks like they're tanking on purpose, which is what the Falcons should have done. Do they get him one of these top tiered receivers?
Yeah, if they can get up ahead of the Packers and take the fucking kid from TCU, that would be a big deal for them.
Yeah.
He's the best receiver in the NFL, or he's going to probably be the best NFL receiver.
Yeah, and the only way that it fucks up that 1-2-3 QB draft order that you were talking about earlier is if it's the Jaguars, because they've already bet the future on Lawrence, so they're not taking a QB.
Yeah.
They're going to give this kid 2 more years. Next up, we got the Seahawks against the Cardinals. Man, this is Arizona -2, and the over-under is 49.5.
I'll take Seahawks +9. Fucking kidding me? The Cardinals suck, dude.
I know they do.
I mean, this is kind of a rivalry.
It's so hard for me, man, because I just don't believe in Geno Smith still to this day.
It pains my soul. Don't turn the ball over in this game.
I understand. My move is in the over in this. Like, Geno's been putting up points. Murray puts up fucking points, even though I don't like him either. But the overs have always covered for the Cardinals. Anything under 50 for the Cardinals are always fucking covering that over. So I think, and I might go with you there, Seahawks +9.
Cardinals are 4-4 against the spread, so you're pretty safe taking them plus money on a teaser. Or taking Seattle plus money on a teaser.
I will doubt the over-unders. I'm betting this for sure.
Seattle's 5-3
against the spread, by the way. The line itself, I know. They covered last week against the Giants, man. I lost money on that game. I think, God damn it, dude. I can't bet on Geno. I'm taking the over-under. That's it. Taking the over-under in this one. And I enjoy the game because I actually, even though I don't like Geno Smith, I admire somebody's work ethic to stick it out because he's 32 years old. A lot of people forget. He's been in the NFL for 10 fucking years at this point. To stick it out this long, stay in shape, be able to pop in at a minute's notice, and be able to take your team to 5-3. I mean, they're in first place in their division. Like, nothing but respect for that guy. I just still don't believe in him because I've never seen him for a full season do anything. And it's odd. And I'm having a hard time with it, man, as far as betting on him. But he keeps winning, and he definitely took my money last week. So I'm going to go the over-under, and then figure it out. This is a late game. I'll probably get desperate at some point, let's face it, and dropping something on it. But check back in and Drinking Bros Sports on Facebook. It's free. Just sign up. All my betting slips are in there, including live lines. So you'll get to see everything I'm going to do. Next up, we got the Rams versus the Buccaneers. Tough game to call here. Both teams are not looking great. This is Tampa Bay -3. What do you do in this?
I skip it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like I'm not enamored by blue blood organizations. If a team's good, they're good, and if they're not, they're not. Right. I don't give a fuck about this. I don't care that the Rams are the defending champions or that the Buccaneers were 2 years before that.
Me neither. I don't think either of these teams are good, and they're certainly not fun to watch right now. Matter of fact, it's fucking painful. Watching Brady like this, and I've always hated Tom Brady forever, but he's got 7. I don't know how anybody else could ever match that in the NFL for the rest of our lives. It is sad to see him go out like this because this, it sucks. As a fan, the 3 o'clock or the 4 o'clock games will be East Coast. The game that I would be watching here in this 4 o'clock game is probably the Cardinals Seahawks, because seeing Murray and Geno Smith go at it right now is funner than watching old ass Tom Brady against old ass fucking Stafford and a battle of the who's going to retire first. Like, I flip on the Seahawks Cardinals game. I think that's more entertaining. And I stay away from this. Who fucking knows? Flip a coin. Somebody's going to win or they might tie. That wouldn't surprise me either, but I definitely don't put my money on it. Now, the next game I do, I put all my money on this. Why? Because it's the Chiefs. It's the Titans versus the Chiefs in this one.
You got to be careful in this game.
Sure do. And this is
the Titans have beat the Chiefs 3 out of the last 4 times they've played, including a playoff game.
Yep. And this is where the teaser comes in handy for me. I think they win, but I think it's by a touchdown. And if you stop the run against Henry, you win the game. But will they stop the run? Because Malik Willis, he started, right? Last week?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And
yeah, he only threw 10 times.
Sure did.
6 for 10 or something.
He had 1.4 points in fantasy football. They won the game because Henry had 32 carries for 200 plus yards, but you cannot do that against the Chiefs. You're still going to need something else.
Wait, so Malik Willis threw the ball 10 times.
Mm-hmm.
And they rushed the ball 45 times. You're telling me they only got 55 snaps in this fucking game?
Sure
not
did.
Including punts?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
No.
Doesn't it, like a team usually run 60 to 75 plays in a game? 60 is like on the low end.
Slowing it down.
Yeah. They're slowing.
Slowing it down.
They are. They are slowing it down on purpose because that's all they have.
Oh my God.
All they have is Derrick Henry. Therefore, I'm all in on the Chiefs on this one.
1, 2.
At 5.5. At 12.5 is crazy.
7.
But
so
if they blow them out, that wouldn't surprise me either.
I guess that's technically 62 plays if you include the punts.
You fucking dirtbag.
Oh, my God. That sucks.
It's awful. It's awful.
I mean, if it works, are they going to try to... I mean, obviously, that's all the only thing they could do against the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
Does it pay to try to slow down versus the Chiefs? Because then it's like... they're just going to go score anyways.
Yeah.
And then I'm eking down the field.
You keep Pat Mahomes off the field, that's probably a good strategy.
It is. I think the Titans will run the ball every fucking play. He might have 5 passes in this game.
Did Malik... hold on. I didn't look at the fucking rush line for him. Did he run the ball at all as well?
I didn't know. I wasn't watching.
Are they using like a triple option or what the fuck? Yeah, he ran the ball 5 times.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah.
And they don't have any other quarterbacks on their roster?
No, that's the guy they drafted in like the second round. So that's their dude for the future. Tannehill, ain't it?
From Liberty, eh?
He got benched. Yeah, Liberty. Chiefs -5.5. I live in this, and I go all the way down. I'll take this down to 39. I'll do all the things in this with the Chiefs in it, and I don't believe in this Titans team. I know they're 5-2. You cannot keep winning games with this fucking formula, especially against the Chiefs. That is crazy. It's absolutely crazy. What are you doing?
I don't know. I'll catch back up on this.
Would you go to 19.5? Let me ask you that.
No.
It's a lot of points in the
NFL.
No,
because it's just as likely the Chiefs win by 40.
I know.
Like if they just decide to win by 40, they'll win by 40.
If they play, when they play, they win by 30 points every time. They just sometimes don't decide to play, and they don't
care. I think teasing this over down might be a
oh, yeah, solid 39 and a half. Yeah. Like I said, it is in all my things. Like, this is a big one for me. I love these Sunday night games. I've been very successful in these, and that's where I'm going with this, too.
Yeah, I think over 39 and a half.
Yeah, I'll do that. It's great. Last but not least here, the Monday night game. We got the Ravens against the Saints. This is Baltimore minus 2.5. D'Anthony, who you got in this one?
You know, the Ravens have been running. They've been executing on their game plan the past like 4 or 5 weeks. They lost. Who did they lose to? The Giants. But they've been executing their game plan. They played the Bills tough. But it's a toss-up, man. Fuck. Like, you never know. I don't think their game plan is a winning game plan.
The Ravens?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like they don't have any fucking receivers.
And the other part of this is when your quarterback is also your top rusher,
yeah,
which he is on this team, due to injury, by the way. I know Dobbins is out and
Gus Edwards is questionable.
Gus Edwards is questionable. Like, they're down to the fucking skin and ball sack on this team. And
but they don't have any, even if those guys are out, they don't really have much of another option because there's no pass game here.
There isn't.
You know what I mean? And it's not Lamar Jackson's fault. He doesn't have, like, the best thing you can do is get him out into space and let him get creative and throw the ball to people that are moving. Like Mark Andrews, when he's healthy, moving a big body, moving across the middle.
But Andrews might be out. He had an ankle injury at the end of last week.
So it's like, I probably don't touch this game. It depends on how the weekend goes and how fucking drunk I get on Monday.
Yeah, and one of my picks in fantasy this year was a guy named Isaiah Likely, and I drafted him in every single league, and everybody asked me, why? Who is this guy? He's a great tight end, and he filled in for Mark Andrews last week and fucking rocked it, dude. I think he had 8 or 9 catches, a touchdown, and maybe 90 yards. That kid is super fucking talented. So if Andrews is out, he'll go to Likely all game. If there's any Likely bets on there, I'm fucking hammering those because that's, like Dan said, there is no receivers there. It's just their tight ends. They've been able to draft great tight ends and no receivers. They did pick somebody up, though, this week. Was it on defense?
Who, the Saints?
No, the Ravens. The Ravens did get – did they get Roquan Smith?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're the ones that did. So, like, their defense is going to be tough.
He will make them immediately better. Like,
he will.
So your free and strong safeties can now cheat deep. Mm-hmm. Which makes throwing the ball over their heads a lot harder when you have Roquan Smith. Like, he's the leading tackler in the NFL for a reason.
Yeah.
He's a really good run defender, but he also drops back into coverage really well.
And the team will be amped to have him. I think they'll be fired up. I'm going to take the Ravens in this one.
Yeah, watch for the left side. If there's an over-under on Jason Pierre-Paul sacks, probably take the over on that one.
Okay.
Because Roquan Smith is going to be rushing on that side of the ball. It's the same thing with fucking you've seen two of the Bills guys are having great years on sacks now because fucking Von Miller's crashing through holes and people have to account for him now. It's the same thing.
Right. And the crazy thing to me about the Saints team is they have the pieces except for a quarterback. So you have Kamara. He's great. Michael Thomas, I don't know what the fuck his deal is. He a Kyrie Irving type of a dude where he's just
starting to kind of seem like it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like
leaves. We don't know the injury.
I don't know if these athletes realize it, but it's like Hollywood. You can't disappear for too long.
Right.
Because all your market value goes away.
Gone. You know what I mean? You've basically forgotten about this guy. It was a fantasy bust this year.
And he was one of the best goddamn receivers I've ever seen in my life.
He has the record for receptions in a season. Taysom Hill, it's a tight end. He's fun. You can do a bunch of shit with him. Chris Olave, crazy year. He's going to go over 1,000 yards receiving for you guys. They're just missing a fucking quarterback there, and it's nuts. They'll be able to get one in the draft. So, like, do they start tanking now? Like,
they should, yeah.
But in this division, with how shitty it is, I mean, the Falcons are in first place at 4-4. The Saints are one game back. Do you start tanking right now in this dog shit division? I do too.
I maybe think about trading crab legs somewhere.
Trade deadline is over. I think you still can clear
waivers and trade, right? I don't know what kind of contract he signed, but Taysom Hill's locked into like a fucking $80 million multi-year contract.
Yeah. and then you have Andy Dalton. Get rid of him, too.
Well, Dalton's
Taysom Hill is your tight end.
Dalton is starting right now.
And that's not great.
No, it's not. But it is a sign because Andy Dalton's kind of the guy you bring in to fail for you while you're looking for somebody else. Chicago did it. Yeah. Fucking Dallas did it.
Yeah. So maybe they lose. But I'm going to bet the Ravens in this one -2.5. It's a field goal game, and I like it. I don't see Lamar Jackson fucking it up towards the end in this one, at least in this one. A better team, sure. Not in this one, though. And what do you think about him? He's got, like, he's trying to go for that new contract. This isn't the greatest year, but he also doesn't have anybody on that team. What do you do with this guy? Do you give him the money?
If I'm the Ravens, no.
I don't either.
There's no fucking way. But I think a team will, and I think a team that's better prepared to take advantage. Like, to be honest, this dude on the fucking 49ers, that's a Super Bowl winning team. I don't see how anybody beats that team.
No.
You know what I mean? Because now you've got multiple people that can move all over the fucking field. It's a very creative offense and a system that's creative, run by a dude who's super creative offensively. Plus, you've got one of the best defenses in the league.
Does he have the option, or can they franchise him? I think they can franchise
him. They can franchise him. He can threaten to sit out, that whole thing.
Okay.
The whole thing that happened with Zeke, 3 years ago?
Oh, yeah. But him and that offense, fuck, man. That'd be great. And I know those guys are up.
But a specific kind of offense. Big body guys like Brandon Ayuk and Kittle, right? Yep. And then you have C-Mac and Debo Samuel is also a big body guy, but he's more of like a fucking two-way player. That's the optimal scenario for a guy like Lamar Jackson.
Dude, imagine, I know this is sick, but like imagine if Rodgers was there with all of that talent.
Imagine if Rodgers was in fucking New Orleans. Like, a lot of people wanted him to go take over in New Orleans for fucking Breeze when he left. Like, hey, we've got an offense right here, buddy. All you got to do is come down.
And the rumor is...
And that's when they still had a good defense, too, when New Orleans still had a good defense.
And the rumor is Sean Payton would have stayed if they would have gotten Rodgers.
Of course, who the fuck's going to retire on Aaron Rodgers at 36?
I agree. Fun show, kids. Bet with us or against us on mybookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros will double your first deposit all the way up to $1,000. And if you're going to any of these games, let's say you're going to New Orleans, $42 there on drinkingbrostickets.com. Enjoy it. Please rate the show on iTunes and leave a quick review. That helps out with the advertisers. And then flip over to Spotify. Just give us a 5-star, baby, and move on with your life. For D'Anthony and Anthony Holloway, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the NFL Pick'em Show. Good night, everyone.